Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Right, let's do this, boys. Liverpool are at the summit, Manchester United are in the mud, and Fulham are back in the big time, baby. Welcome along to the Football Ramble. It's Wednesday, the 20th of April. I'm Jules Breach.
I'm Lars Jordan.
And I'm Vidushan Hugdaraja.
Welcome along, ladies and gentlemen, to this Wednesday's Football Ramble. If you're a Liverpool fan, you're waking up feeling good today. If you are a Fulham fan, you're probably hungover and also feeling quite good today. And if you're a Manchester United fan, spare a thought for Vithushan Ihantharaja, who has to sit through talking about how bad Manchester United were once again.
You get used to it after a while.
I was going to say, it's probably a familiar feeling.
It's like, you know, at my age now, you wake up and you've got a bad back and you're like, you just accept it. Sometimes you fight against it and, you know, think, oh, you know, why don't I try stretching and things like that, or other remedies and, you know, a bit of maybe something like warm underneath to loosen the muscles. And now I just embrace it that life is going to be terrible. So it's fine.
How are you feeling as a neutral today, Lars?
Well, I have many thoughts. Well, I mean, if we grasp Man United, I feel like we should just... Do we have bits from other rambles that you can just bring to just clip that and just the last time they played Liverpool, I don't know, the same chat, we can just bring it out again? Because there's the same stuff going on with them, really.
Do you want a day off, basically, Lars?
Well, no.
Are you a South Park fan?
I'm very... not massively.
Right, so there was... during South Park, there was a stage when the character who plays the chef left. And, you know, it was quite a big deal because Chef was quite a prominent character on South Park. And he left quite acrimoniously. I think he went on to be a Scientologist, actually. So to cover for his loss, all of a sudden, they just took bits from old episodes and put it in this last episode.
Right.
And it's just gibberish. But you kind of still get the feel of what Chef would have been like had he been around for that episode. And I think we could do that on the Ramble when it comes to talking about Manchester United.
We probably could, couldn't we? You know what? Before we actually get cracking and talking about that game, just very quickly, want to let everyone know that there is a second episode of Back from the Brink on Football Ramble Presents Now. It's a documentary series all about the European Super League. And today you're going to hear from the fans involved in protesting against Premier League clubs and how the whole project came crashing down. It is a fascinating listen, well worth it. Andy even took them back to the street corners outside Stamford Bridge and the Emirates where they happened. So listen to that now on Football Ramble Presents.
It's really good. I thought the first episode was very good. Mm. Obviously, a lot of good people involved. I was not involved, but I was actually not offended in any way not to be asked. Because the reality is, it would just be just a stream of expletives, really. I mean, it would not be possible to use anything.
Why didn't we get Lars involved?
Yeah. Just a fully libelous, non-broadcastable from me on that one.
Which is how I imagine you felt last night watching Manchester United lose 4-0 against Liverpool. Lots of expletives.
What a pivot.
In fact, actually, I quite enjoyed you in the WhatsApp group.
What was I doing?
I don't know. You were just sending funny memes. It was a lot more sensible than I thought.
Well, that's how I cope. You know, sometimes words won't do, and you need the pictures to tell the story of how you feel. I predicted this yesterday on the show. I said it would be Liverpool would come out and batter United, and that kind of rang true. You know, it could have been worse.
It definitely could have been worse.
I think there was a moment where United almost. There was a moment where United seemed to build up a bit of a head of steam. I think it was about the hour mark, and it culminated in Mane's goal. But I think you could tell that not even United players believed that that was their doing. It was because Liverpool took their foot off the gas. They'd obviously, were quite intense on the weekend against Manchester City, and it felt like this was a natural lull. And United didn't really profit from it. And it, as I said, it ends with Mane getting that that third goal. But it was kind of expected. I think beyond the rivalry of Manchester United and Liverpool, you've got to recognise, even if you have Manchester United in your heart, you've got to recognise that Liverpool are streets ahead.
Yeah.
Liverpool are basically playing FIFA football. And what I mean by that is like not just this video game fantasy football style thing, but they make passes that you should only really see if you're that little bit further away, like far removed, where you've got like a view of the whole pitch and stuff like that. Even Mane's goal for Salah around the corner.
Oh, it's brilliant.
There was a moment as well, like, I think it was about half an hour in, where Diaz plays a ball to Andy Robertson, who plays it immediately back to him. And he hits it hard enough that Diaz knows that it's not meant for him, that there must be someone behind him. And Diaz has got two United players either side of him. And he lets it go. And it just summed up how they're just so...
They're so in tune, they're so in sync, and they're
brilliant. Yeah,
I think that explains as well how Diaz has fit in so quickly into this Liverpool team. I think because the way Jurgen Klopp has drilled them, that they all know their jobs, they all know exactly where they're meant to be and how they move. And it just seemed to me last night watching that Liverpool, they had so much space. And what's ironic about that is that they didn't even need it, because they pass the ball and they move so quickly. They almost didn't need that space, but they had it, and they were just relentless going forward. They were incredible to watch. I mean, it's just a joy to watch them. They're an absolute juggernaut, and now they sit top of the Premier League. Yes, it might only be for a day until Manchester City play tonight, but wow, I mean, what a team performance that was, Lars.
They're very good. they're good at the football. I know we're trying to keep it positive about Liverpool because the United are poo bit we've done so many times now. But I feel like it's very difficult to talk about this Liverpool performance without talking about the extent to which United enabled them, I think.
Yeah.
Now, I have some sympathy. As Ragnik said after the game, I mean, he always speaks very well. He'd make a very good pundit, Ragnik, certainly. Like, he's very good at, like, hitting the nail on the head with what was wrong with that performance. Ideally, you do want the coach to sort of preempt that a little bit more than just sort of, oh, yeah, that was really bad. But they were lacking both their sort of chief defensive midfielders, so it's not a good time to play Liverpool. And bringing in an extra defender to try to compensate for that, there's a certain logic to that. But, you know, poor old Phil Jones hadn't played in about 15 years, so you know, that was a tricky game for him to come into. But when you go three at the back, and clearly the main plan is to just try to make it hard for Liverpool, surely you want the team to be more compact, because as you said, they found so much space because there were huge distances between the defence and the midfield, which is like really not what you want in that setting at all. And I did think, like, right towards the end of the game, which in the second half was slightly different, you know, there was a moment where just Bruno Fernandes just kicked the fella because he was just a bit annoyed. Like, there was right towards the end of the game. It was, I'm just going to kick someone now. I'm just had it. Yeah. I'm just going to kick someone. But why are you not doing that in the first half?
Yeah.
Like, clearly, things are not well at Man United. The team is not functioning. You know, people are not happy. You're playing either the best or the second best team in the world, depending on, you know, how you flip a coin between them and City. And in the first half, you're getting overrun. Surely that is the time to kick people. Just turn it into a scrap. Like, this being played as a game of football is not advantageous to us. You know, kick someone. Start. I'm not really condoning.
Set the tone is what you're saying.
Not condoning violence as such, but just, you know, interrupt their patterns. Try to start a fight. You know, add some Diego Simeone-ness to this. Don't wait until you've lost 4-0 to bring that. You know, to bring that energy. So since they weren't going to win in a footballing sense, they could have at least tried to make it a scrap. And they just seemed to be quite passively watching Liverpool cut through them time and time again, which was quite a thing to see.
Yeah, I think as you point out in terms of the team news, Lars, six first team players were missing for Manchester United, including Cristiano Ronaldo. And by the way, it was I thought it was a really moving moment, very touching when both sets of fans showed their support for him in the seventh minute and Anfield rang out with "You'll Never Walk Alone" as well. I thought it was actually quite a lovely moment. But in terms of the players that were on the pitch, Paul Pogba obviously got taken off after 10 minutes with a pulled calf. Phil Jones, as you mentioned, started the game, replaced at half time. Not a good look. Roy Keane did his usual Roy Keane stuff post-match. He said that Marcus Rashford played like a child up front. Ooh. I mean, there was a lot of criticism for Manchester United and probably worth it as well.
Yeah. I mean, none of this is new. I think, you know, much in the same way that we could have cut together old Ramble episodes, you could just get a Roy Keane soundboard and press random buttons. But I think
should we do that? That would be great.
I think that would be Jose.
Just go smash someone.
Yeah. Someone's got to come up with that. The internet's good for that. Yeah. Put the call out. Let's get it sorted.
To be fair, our TikTok on him is pretty good.
Yeah, it is. Actually. That's basically a soundboard. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't feel like we could say anything new or different about Manchester United. The thing I am quite curious about, though, is because it's Manchester United, a lot of these games have been picked for TV. So you do, you know, for those games where United lose, there is a degree of prominence there because they're set aside in the way that this game was. And so I do kind of feel bad for pundits who have to, because they can't
with new stuff.
Yeah,
I felt that with Keane last night. Like, his heart wasn't really in it.
Yeah,
he did tick all the boxes, like calling players children and all this sort of stuff. But it wasn't the same fire and passion as earlier, because you're sort of kind of expecting it now, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly.
And it just is a mess. It was again, we've said this before with these exact teams. It's such a showcase of one team that's been put together over a period of time with a great sort of clarity of purpose. The scouts know exactly what type of players they're looking for. Coach has them very well drilled, as you observed. Jules, completely agree. And a team that's just a collection of bits.
Yeah.
And some of it, I mean, the players are taking the brunt of it. Some of it is on the manager, but I just think, again, I've said this on the Ramble before, like, he's a strange short-term appointment, right, Nick?
Yeah, it's just not right, is it?
I think if you want to bring someone in to sort of fix your broken club over a three-year period, he makes sense. But as a sort of a 60-a-month firefighter, that seems odd. And he's, like, evangelical about the high press, but then seems to have very swiftly decided and discovered there's quite a few players at United who either don't want to or aren't able to play that way. So he's just kind of had to back off that.
Yeah, I feel like for such a long time, though, and Vish, I'm sure you'll echo this, that there hasn't been a permanent manager for ages. Because even when Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was brought in, that was never seen as long-term, was it? Then you've got Carrick, who was in for however long he was, taking over in the interim before this next interim, Ralf Rangnick, who we all knew was just going to be an interim. So how can you build anything stable with that kind of management in place? I mean, I think it's very difficult. And, you know, Lars just mentioned there about this kind of rebuild and Ralf Rangnick's comments. He said that there is a very drastic need at the club. And he kept citing Liverpool's journey under Jurgen Klopp. You know, he's had the time. Mm. He's had the right recruitment. So this is obviously what Manchester United need right now. And Erik ten Hag supposedly is the man to do it. The question really is, where does he start? What's the first thing?
Well, I mean, it's a squad, isn't it? The squad is going to break up of its own accord. And I think presumably Ten Hag would want to come in where a lot of the difficult decisions have already been made. I suppose a lot of the awkward decisions, not necessarily the difficult ones. So, like, sorting out, I suppose, you know, when Pogba leaves, because that obviously seems to be happening.
I thought, you know, when he actually got taken off at 10 minutes, I thought that he was just being substituted, and I thought, wow, that's harsh.
He did have a limp.
Yeah, and then I was like, oh, actually, he's got an injury. Okay.
Yeah.
But I did actually panic a bit. I thought, God, this is really harsh. 10 minutes in.
I think the thing that should be said about, you know, the Liverpool comparisons, and obviously it's there because United are rivals, this, that, and the other, and obviously they played each other yesterday, but, you know, Klopp's now the longest serving manager in the Premier League after Dyche went. So you don't just happen upon that. They got him, and you know, well, Liverpool were in a position where they could bring Klopp in, and Klopp could say, right, this is what you need to do. Trust me on this. And I think if you look at that front three in terms of positions rather than personnel, they kind of embody what he's been able to put in place there. You know, Lars mentioned the scouting. I think Mane in that kind of your false nine role as well, that more withdrawn, you know, middle frontman role. It's fascinating to me because it basically, if you look at the knock-on effect from what was originally Firmino, Salah and Mane, Jota comes in and ousts Firmino. Diaz comes in and basically ousts Jota, and then Mane moves into the middle. They're just all so malleable, but they're all on the same page. The fact that they could get him in and he could have this impact already, that's not just down to scouting. That's not just down to Klopp's clarity of thought and the ideas he's trying to implement. That's a whole club thing.
It's keeping them all happy as well.
It doesn't just happen with an appointment of a new manager who happens to be from Ajax. That comes from a buy-in from top to bottom.
I think, again, Rangnick has been sort of trying to carefully and uncarefully make his thought known about this. And I thought he quotes a couple of weeks back when he said, "It's difficult to change a technically great player into a physical aggressive player, and we have a lot of technical players." And that was just a very subtle way of lazy bastards. Yeah. They don't like running, do they?
United is just a team of tortured artists.
Just
like the libertines. United are like the libertines of the Premier League.
Yeah, the work rate off the ball is just very different watching these two teams. And if they don't, you know, there's been murmurs for so long how they don't like Rangnick and his methods. And I was like, you know what? These guys don't want to press. Ten Hag is also going to want them to do that. Like, this isn't changing with a new manager coming in. Like, they're going to have to work harder either way.
Yeah.
Do you not think that, do you wonder if that approach to Rangnick is in the way that, you know, you don't really listen to a substitute teacher? If you know they're going to be gone at the end of the term, and they're not really going to be
compared a lot, actually.
Yeah, they're not really going to influence what you go on to do next term. You're kind of like, right, whatever.
Yeah, definitely. I think there has to be that attitude, and I think, you know, speaking to former players when that has been brought up, they all say that is the attitude that has to be there, and you can kind of see it on the pitch. They just all look a bit lost, a bit like, I don't know. There doesn't seem to be that bite or that effort or that real passion that I think you want to see if you support that team, until Hannibal came on and actually got stuck in.
I think that's a bit overblown, to be honest. I think it's just a kid who's excited to play at Anfield.
Do you think?
Yeah. And I think it was something to see. I think a lot was made of that when, you know, he's not actually that kind of player.
Oh, like, really? I don't know much about him at all.
You know, he's quite a technically astute. He's very, very good to watch. Like, yeah, I mean, he's physical in that he's a professional footballer. Mm. I think it was just a bit of excitement. I don't think he was brought on to be like...
I don't think he was brought on to do it. At least he showed a bit and actually got stuck in, because you just didn't really see that from the other Manchester United players in the game, really.
Yeah, well, to be fair, like, United just... You know, yeah, they could have... Lars was right, they could have kicked him early. That would have required them getting near them, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, true.
True.
United really do need to get into a mindset where we're not thinking, you know, is this a big enough star for Man United?
Exactly, yeah.
You know, does this guy have enough social media followers? They just need to put the emphasis a little bit like, is this a good person and will he put a shift in and do as he's told? Like, this needs to be a bigger part of the recruitment policy, I think.
Well, possibly Erik ten Hag is the right man to get those, to encourage that type of recruitment. Maybe.
Well, maybe, but he's coming from a club where he won't have been a driving force behind the recruitment. I mean, he's used to working with a director of football and with a very good apparatus around him. So that is an interesting thing as well. Like, what sort of authority is he going to have?
But him working with Ralf Rangnick, does that relationship work?
Maybe, but is he going to
Rangnick
be working
has someone,
with...
At least Rangnick will have someone else to be like, they are shit, aren't they? He's like, yeah, they're terrible. I don't know how you did it. For 6 months, bloody hell, yeah.
Well, Liverpool are top for now. They're 2 points ahead of Manchester City. How long will they stay there, though? We'll have to wait and see. Let's see if Brighton can do something tonight for Liverpool fans against Man City. Right, let's talk about Fulham. They're back. They're back in the big time. And Marcus Speller was there at Craven Cottage last night having the time of his life. He wasn't one of the thousands of fans who went on
what,
to the
did he
pitch.
Not?
No, he didn't.
Oh, my God,
dad,
that's the most Marcus thing imaginable.
Good boy. And, you know, I was on the pitch when Brighton got promoted.
I can imagine
really?
Marcus
of course
just
I was.
Going over the hoarding and just immediately, nah, just going back.
Replacing a divot.
Yeah, he's like, oh, no, should I? No, I'll just stay here. No, but, I mean, amazing. Congratulations to Fulham. They're back, promoted for the third time, in 5 years. They beat Preston 3-0. And look, they got up with four games to spare. They've had an incredible season. Alexander Mitrovic being a huge part of that with his 39th and 40th league goals last night. it's quite ridiculous, really, because the last time they were in the Premier League, I think he only scored 3 goals, and he didn't start every game in their last spell in the Premier League. The question really is now that Fulham are back up, can he do it this time round? Can he actually produce double figures? Can he be, or does he? Do they need to get another striker? What happens? Because they're going to lose Fabio Carvalho to Liverpool. That deal is done and he's been outstanding for them this season. So how do you see them faring this time round in the Premier League?
Pretty much the same as previous times.
What, they're going to go down straight away?
Maybe not bottom, but it's weird. Like,
oh, Vish, be a bit more positive. No, they've just been promoted.
They have, yeah. But it's, you know, obviously they have every chance of staying up. But
I don't think you think they've got any chance.
But like, we have a body of evidence, don't we? That they can't. I suppose the one thing that might work in their favour is the fact that, given the two, you know, we're losing an established team in, probably going to lose an established team in Burnley, for example. And then suddenly, you know, that equalises things a bit in terms of their chances of going down. It's not so much that three promoted teams will necessarily be seen as the, you know, the bottom three, or I suppose, you know, the most likely to be relegated for next season. But I don't know. I suppose, like, I'm just going by what we've seen over the last few years. In terms of the Mitro thing, it's amazing to think he's only 27.
Yeah.
He's kind of just been bouncing up and down in this weird halfway house, the Huckabee zone, as we term it here. But I don't really, you know, I don't really know. Is he, you know, he's obviously, his appetite for goals is that little bit greater. And certainly he's turning that into, you know, as you mentioned, 40th goal this season last night. But does that translate? Is that, you know, Timo Pukki, have we seen a kind of improvement in him in his couple of times in the Premier League? I don't really know, to be honest.
I think Mitro is a kind of striker who relies on service a little bit. Like, he's not someone who's just going to dribble two people and whack it in the top corner. Like, he needs good crosses. He needs balls to cut back, stuff like this. And Fulham, obviously, last time they were up, struggled to create things and give a good account of themselves. So that's going to affect him. I also do wonder if he's just... I'd be happy to be wrong about this next season. I wonder if just a tiny bit slow for the Premier League. I think there are a lot of defenders in the Premier League who sort of just he struggles to get to the ball ahead of other defenders in the same way he does in the Championship. I wonder. We will see. But I've thought a lot about this because we have this sort of slightly strange spectacle in the Premier League this season of Norwich like going down emphatically, but Brentford making a very good fist of it, which seems kind of weird because Norwich were significantly better than Brentford last season in the Championship.
Yeah.
But I've thought a lot about it, and I think there's something about how, you know, beating teams that are equal to or worse than you every week requires a slightly different skill set from like eking out points against more superior opponents. So I think if you're used to playing in quite like an open and attacking way, you can smash teams every week in the Championship, but you will probably have more trouble in the Premier League than if you're used to being a little bit grittier, perhaps. No one would really describe Brentford as a gritty side, but they have a very sort of pressing thing that they do and all this stuff. I wonder if there's something to that. And I certainly think watching this Fulham team, I've only watched them a couple of games this year, so I'm not an expert on them. But like sort of a midfield two of Harrison Reed and Tom Kearney in front of a defence of Tim Ream and Tosin, I think you're going to have trouble against a lot of Premier League teams with that sort of... I think you'll be quite easy to play against for quite a lot of opponents in the Premier League.
Yeah.
You'd want to beef up that centre.
Yeah, I think you're right, Lars, because I think they're always... I think because of how many goals Fulham have scored this season and because that has been their kind of... That's why they've been so good. I think that there's a lot of focus on, ooh, well, can they score that many goals in the Premier League when really should the focus more be on tightening up, making sure they've perhaps got some Premier League quality at the back, because the goals will come if they're that good at scoring. They will get goals in the Premier League, and it might actually be down to their defence as to whether or not they can try and stay up this time, because it will be just so disappointing for Fulham fans again if they come up to go straight back down.
Yeah, I spoke to a Fulham mate of mine yesterday, and this is obviously just...
You've got mates?
Strictly. I've got loads of mates, yeah. we always hang out without you, yeah. I was talking to him, and I was like, oh, congratulations. Just a cursory congratulations. I think I just...
Pre-match congrats.
I think I just forwarded on the message I sent him 2 years ago. But he was like, it's weird, I don't really feel anything. He was like, this season has been really fun, you know, rocking up to games, seeing your team smash someone, and like really enjoying it, and being like the one of the big teams around. And then next year, he's just like, what if it's the same as next year, where it's just like we're just rocking up and being like, God, please don't get battered by this team. Mm-hmm. Please try and get something from this team. And because it's of how often it's happened over the last 5-6 years with Fulham, he seems a little bit, I don't know, not worn out, but I think he's just conditioned to that.
Yeah.
Like, this is just something
this,
that's
this was the fun year.
Yeah.
Next year will be the sad year.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it'll be a fun year again.
People always talk about the yo-yo effect and the detriment it has when you go down. But I suppose when you have that enjoyment of getting promoted, you do have to savour it. He even said yesterday, if you could guarantee promotion, you know, at the start of the season he figured it would be good, but if you could guarantee promotion, he would have rather done it through the playoffs.
Because
it's that extra bit of spice.
That excitement. Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
And obviously that's strictly to him, but I thought that was an interesting point, yeah.
On a very different note, I've been following the owner, Tony Khan, on Twitter, because I just sort of noticed that, because he tweets quite a lot, and I thought, ooh, championship owner who tweets a lot, this could be fun. It's almost all about the wrestling, because obviously he's big into the wrestling and all. And I worry about this, because if you're multitasking too much, I mean, I have found, I once accidentally put a message in the WhatsApp group for one podcast that might have been meant for the WhatsApp group of a different podcast. And then you think, oops. And this sort of thing can happen when you're doing more than one thing. And I would be really worried if I was like a Fulham player. Sort of, what if he accidentally sends Tim Ream to do the wrestling? Or sort of like Niskan's Cabano turns out like, I have no idea what's going on here. They're all wearing very strange clothes. There's a very big gentleman over there who seems very angry. Like this. But then again, they could be crossover the other way. Like if they really need to beef up the center, maybe get some of the wrestlers in.
Yeah, yeah. Or they just might be like, oh, who's that waving his chair on? Oh, it's Mitro, actually. I mean, I'm in the right place. I'm in the right place.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, real crossover potential there.
Yeah, I think Mitro would be a good wrestler.
Oh, yeah, I think, yeah. When if you're going to pick anyone out of that team, it probably would be him, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the man literally had a fight with a fellow teammate during yoga when they were last in the Premier League. So, yeah, I mean, I'm all over that.
Oh, love it. Well, welcome back, Fulham. Welcome back to the Premier League. You're back in the big time. Marcus is delighted. I'm sure you've seen a fair few of the pictures on social media and all sorts from their promotion game last night. So congrats to them. And I'm quite glad to see Fulham back. It's nice having another London club. It's nice.
You're just thinking about your commute.
It's easy to travel to for work. So happy days. Right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, it's time for a bit of pep talks and we'll look ahead to tonight's matches in the Premier League.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
We'll be right back. Hi, I'm Danny Welbeck, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
That guy Welbs!
Big stuff,
here
big
he
stuff.
Is! Oh, is that a bit of an omen for tonight? As Brighton take on Man City. We've got Welbs on. Come on! Can they do it? Three in a row? Beat the big boys?
Yeah, ever since you've started moaning about it.
Moaning about what?
Just, oh, Brighton, we're not winning anymore. Oh, I don't want to do the show. Oh, I don't want to do,
up,
don't want to do score.
That.
Don't show the games. Yeah, you've had quite a time of it now.
Oh, no, it's been brilliant.
So I went to the Brighton game at the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously.
Yes, you did message me.
Well, I did a sort of, you know, fair play. Your team was better sort of sulky tweet.
You know, we're unbeaten in our hyper turquoise. Away from home.
Hyper turquoise.
Yeah,
it's like you're reading.
Hyper Turk.
You're reading from the announcement sheet, aren't you?
Hyper Turk is that kit. It's a fucking lovely kit. You got to admit that.
Yeah, it's decent. Yeah. At least you're good for something.
Sold
yeah.
out. I couldn't get it anywhere. So I bought
this
a tub.
This is why you're mentioning it. Listen to this. Like when they sent you all those pies the other day.
How can something be hyper? Is it like more than. It's just color. Is it more turquoise than regular turquoise?
Yeah, I think
it's not how, it's not how it's the like, color spectrum
it's like
works.
More turquoise than ever before.
It's like neon turquoise. A bit like how that's hyper green. What
not
you're
how
now,
colors
ish.
Work.
Yeah, hyper green. I'll take that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're unbeaten in that kit. Yeah. So let's see if we can get something.
But if there was any danger of there being simmering tension on the pod because your team, you know, did bad things, I also want to just bring to people's attention that.
Oh, what now?
There is a person in the studio. Who capped Jadon Sancho in their FPL this week. And there's a person who capped Mohamed Salah. And we don't need to get into which is which. But,
let's move
you know.
On, shall we? I don't know why.
Would
I
you say
that.
One of those people, let's say the person who did badly in that you know that scenario, they're paid by FPL to you know to produce a show. They should they get insider information as well all the time, and they always boast about how they you know got their ears.
Have you not been following my career? I don't do the FPL show anymore.
Yeah. Well, you actually, know, because you got booed out for insider trading.
Actually, what adds some spice to the mix is I think actually one person in the room is being paid to do something for FPL this week.
Ah.
So, you know.
What are you doing, Lars? You're going on the pod?
You have a baby.
You're going on the pod. There you go.
To gloat.
Yeah, probably.
Got something right for once.
Right, I'm going to move on from this because, yes, that was an embarrassing choice by me. Time for this.
We are so, so happy. We're so happy.
We are so happy. Yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy for that.
We are so happy. I'm so happy,
believe me. We are so happy. Sit down! Please!
A pep talk from Luke, or rather a request for a pep talk from Luke.
And Lars, was that the first time you heard that jingle?
I have heard it before.
You've heard
but
it, but
I just kind of
been
it,
here in the studio.
Yeah, it's
it.
Something
it's
else.
Isn't it?
And I just slapped the microphone in. I really think what the world needs is a Pep Guardiola relaxation tape. And you just go, relax, sit down, have a drink. This is what I need at the end of the week. Just
brilliant.
Whale noises and him going, relax.
Go ahead, Finn.
So here comes Luke. I waited for the right opportunity to email in after listening for so many years. After months of waiting and planning, my stag do has finally come upon itself and a group of my pals in Dublin this week. Whilst we do have the majority of the details planned out, I was hoping that the creative minds from the Ramble could help get some juices flowing. Can the team suggest some plans and also a lovely little song/jingle to set the mood?
Can I just say, Luke, you shouldn't know any plans, mate. If it's your stag do, your
mates
should be
this.
Doing everything. No. I'm just, my suggestion to you, Luke, is sit down, drink water and relax. Yeah. Because you shouldn't have anything to do
Hydrate.
With the plans, mate.
Yeah, exactly. Hydrate ahead of time because you're going to need it.
For his friends, what would you suggest they do then, Vish?
So, I mean, I've never been to... Actually, no, I have been to Dublin. But I feel like Dublin is kind of set out in terms of the things you can do. Because if you're a stag do as well, you can't necessarily go to a club. You'd have to pre-organise it. So a lot of that stuff will already be set in stone, presumably. Mm. I always quite like taking in a football match.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if you're going abroad somewhere. I went to one in Lisbon a couple of years ago and I've kind of we didn't take in a football match. But that would have been a nice way. Because also, like... If you listen to a football podcast, presumably you and your mates are into football, so it's a nice thing to do.
These are very sensible ideas.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, in terms of a song, I don't know about that. Do you have a stag do song? Did you have a hen do song?
No, I don't think you have. You don't have. Well, it depends. One of my friends is like obsessed with country music, so we did her a Nashville themed Hindu, and so there was a lot of
that's quite sad, isn't it? It's like imitation Nashville.
A lot of Dolly Parton, and we did actually go line dancing.
Right, oh, that's quite nice. Yeah,
I was so bad. I am like the least coordinated person when it comes to my feet. So yeah, but I mean, you don't want to do that on a stag do. Any suggestions, Az? What sort of stag do's have you been on before? Anything you can
not
take?
Not many.
No, really.
That sort of frivolities, you know.
Oh, really?
No. So I'm a bad person to ask, and also. Most of the times I've been to Dublin, my memory afterwards has been hazy, which suggests that, A, I should be a good person to ask, but because the memory is hazy, like, I don't know. People have been very friendly whenever I've been there, which is great. So maybe, yeah. Maybe just embrace the get to chatting with the locals. Embrace the chat.
I'll say
the crack.
Guys, yeah. I'm not going to lie. This isn't what Luke wanted to hear.
No.
I don't know. What does that like?
Luke wants some like proper stuff. What sort of stag
like,
do you've
like
been
a
on?
Secret nightclub in Dublin that no one knows about.
Exactly.
That's not, I'm not
Which
right
is great when you get in there, but no one else is there.
Yeah.
All the stag do's I've been on.
What about like handcuffing him to a lamppost or something?
Why would we want to suggest that to him?
It's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Well, those are the stories I hear about mates' stag do's.
You're from like a different generation, aren't you?
Am I?
Yeah. This is what happens when you grow up in the 80s. The one thing I will say, and this is actually quite sincere advice, is that we're kind of at a time in our lives where like going away or friends being on the same schedule and even like finding time to hang out together is quite rare. So I think stag do should be more about, actually, fuck it, where do we want to go and what do we want to do? Obviously, keep some stuff private, but also just like to go out and, experience new places. Because, yeah, that time off, the world is moving quicker.
So we don't know
day,
how old Luke is. Says he's been listening for many years, so maybe, because I think maybe I'm aging myself a bit, but I increasingly feel like I want to give like sensible advice, like hydrate, like don't get so drunk you can't chat to your friends in a coherent manner.
Yeah. Yeah,
my suggestion is a glass of water between each drink,
and then handcuff yourself to a post.
Yeah, and then do that.
Yeah,
remember.
What kind of advice is this?
Remember to go toilet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Simple things.
Yeah. Don't walk on your face.
Don't do shots any earlier than let's say 4 p.m. I'd say.
No, that's fine. Do shots.
Shots.
Yeah, during
the day.
Yeah.
Fine. All right. So, favorite shot. What's your shot of choice? Yeah, me too. Yeah. Sambuca. Yeah. What about apple sours?
They don't really do anything though, do they?
Yeah, but they are good.
Nah, they're not. Because they're just
about eight.
Nah, just sticky tongue. They don't really do anything. If you want to do it properly. You got a bit of money now. What are you drinking apple sours for?
Apple sours taste good.
No.
But don't kiss your teeth at me.
I'll be in the big chair in the corner with a whiskey.
Yes, Lars. You
just
stick
with
to
my
that.
Arms crossed.
There you go. That's your advice, Luke. Do a Lars. Do a Lars. Right. That is all for Pep Talks. Don't forget, if you've got any questions for us, any dilemmas, anything you want help with, as you can tell, we're really helpful people. So send them in. We'll get to them every Wednesday. show@footballramble.com or tweet @footballramble. Right. Let's get back to some football. Before we preview tonight's matches, just a quick word with our little expert here in the studio, Lars, on Erling Haaland,
little
expert here on some European stuff, because let's just get the latest.
You're just the smallest person in the world. Like I'm generally being called little doesn't happen a lot to me.
Sorry. Coming from the smallest person on the ramble. What is the latest? Because it looks as though this move for Erling Haaland to City is done. Is it happening? Is it a done deal?
Well, there's still some who insist that it hasn't been done yet. And if you follow Jan Åge Fjørtoft, who, of course, has interviewed Erling Haaland many, many times and has certain connections with them, he insists that nothing's been decided yet as of right now at the point of recording. But, of course, other reports suggest that the thing to Manchester City is basically done. So I think I'm still on the wait-and-see thing. It does look an awful lot like it'll be Manchester City.
Pep refused to answer any questions on it yesterday, doing a classic Pep. But of course, he's going to do that until it is officially all done. There's a few kind of as people are starting to talk about this move now that it's looking like it's likely to happen, and how this is going to work for Manchester City in terms of the team. Will they have to set up differently with him in the side? Could it upset the apple cart? But surely. He's one of the best players in the world. This is only going to be good things for City, right, Vish?
Yeah. It feels like there's something they don't really have. And I suppose we'll find out come the end of the season, obviously, as we reverse engineer all the opinions that we held during the season about whether it costs them in any way, shape or form. I was going to ask Lars, actually, because you know, he's going to start, you know, if he does sign for Manchester City, he's going to start like many Manchester City signings do, in that they generally start on the bench until they kind of get up the speed with the with the system, or Pep Guardiola trust them, whichever comes first, I suppose, and I suppose that they are both linked. But I feel like with Haaland, so much has come to him so quickly that would he have the patience for that, or would he have the patience for that? And would he get the, like, you know what, this is the top tier now, I can bide my time a bit, I am here?
That's an interesting question. He wouldn't be happy on the bench. He's not the kind of person who's happy collecting his money on the bench. But I'm sure he would channel it in a positive way and work really hard and all these things. As a type of as a character and as a player, he is kind of different from what they have, in the sense of, you know, he's a striker who doesn't do much else than being a striker. And that is traditionally not a type of player Guardiola has been that keen to work on. You do get the sense that in an ideal world, Pep Guardiola would like have 10 midfielders on the pitch and just the old, like, short little technical people who run around. Whereas Haaland is very, very different. But he is, I think he's a player who, unless you watch him regularly, you can kind of misunderstand what kind of player he is. I mean, because he's big, but he's definitely not a target man.
Yeah,
like his hold-up play isn't actually great. And what he does well, I think if you did the thing, like on the Football Manager games where there's just dots moving around, like if you made his goals 2D, I suspect a lot of his goals would look like Jamie Vardy goals or something like this. Like, because he's all about bursting into space and his clever pattern of movement. So when you look at City, they create so many chances for, like, cutbacks, like when they get to the byline and cut back.
Yeah.
I can imagine him sort of being there to thrash home about 50 of those a season.
Yeah.
You know, he's very good at that. His movement in the box is very clever. He's good at running in behind. He does work off the ball. He's not like Ronaldo, who just doesn't do anything. But he has been a little bit exempt from defensive work. I mean, at Dortmund, it's been a little bit, okay, so you, Erling, you just lurk up there and wait for a chance to run in behind and stuff. So I think Pep might want him to up his work rate a little bit and use some more energy chasing. But I think he can do that. You know, he's a young and fit lad. There's an interesting sort of personality thing. You know, I'm sure a lot of people listening,
I kind of love it. I love the kind of
the tension there. I'm sure a lot of people listening will have either read the Zlatan Ibrahimovic biography or know of it, and his had a terrible time at Barcelona, but he really struggled with, like, the culture of the schoolboys of Barcelona, the sort of short Spanish lads who did everything they were told and were just very pleasant.
The teacher's pets.
And how he just didn't like that at all. Like, Haaland seems to be quite a bit more Ibra in his approach to life. Like, he's a big character and stuff like that. And I think him and Guardiola will be an interesting sort of clash there's a bit of a culture clash there, I think, him going to City, which is interesting. It's an interesting thing to follow.
I think it's going to be incredible if this obviously does go through and happens. De Bruyne feeding Erling Haaland.
100%.
That's frightening.
Yeah, it is. Especially the way you said feeding and the size of the man. Chucking human bodies in there, and he's just pulling them out, the skeletons, when he picks his teeth.
Honestly, them two at their peak, though, can you imagine it? It's just,
well, I suppose it's
scary.
Interesting to see how many years De Bruyne has left, because, I mean, on his day, he's still the best midfielder in the country, like, by a distance, in my opinion. Will they have to play very differently? I suppose not, given what Lars said in terms of the way he plays. He probably just gives him a different kind of outlet through the middle. He was someone who can burst in and break that back line. I suppose maybe even, you know, you don't really see it with City, but I suppose some of the movements that we saw with Liverpool yesterday, where they know people are going to be breaking through and being onside, that might open them up. So suddenly they feels like they've got a more 360 degree way of playing. I'm fascinated to see if Guardiola changes the way he approaches things. You know, I thought Gabriel Jesus, when he signed, was being groomed to replace Aguero. That hasn't quite come to fruition. He's been someone who, you know, even on the weekend in the FA Cup game, played out on the right. Grealish was the one who played through the middle and seemed to struggle a bit. Is Haaland going to be someone who might start on the right, for example? And if they're playing in a quite malleable way, it doesn't necessarily matter if, when they kick off, he's standing over there. If it's, you know, I'd be fascinated to see what he's doing. And presumably, you know, Guardiola wouldn't have sanctioned this deal had he not had an idea of what he wanted with him.
Yeah, exactly. It's good news as well for Spurs, because it looks more likely that Harry Kane will stay if this happens as well.
Penny for Charlie Kane's thoughts. if this move goes through, I do think, in terms of his choice of club, I think one thing that favors City a little bit is that there's such an obvious need for a striker there. You know, if he goes to Real Madrid, which is the other option that's been mooted, you know, they're trying to bring in Kylian Mbappe. Is the team big enough for the both of them? You know, I think that's sort of clash you might want to avoid. One of the big reasons he went to Dortmund when he moved from Salzburg was that, again, they had no forward at the time, so there was an obvious space there for him. But I do also think, I'm not fully convinced. I'm sure he'd love it. And then the energy of the crowd here in England is tremendous, and the slightly sort of helter-skelter nature of some of the English Premier League matches is good for him. But I'm a little bit concerned about him physically, because he does pick up injuries. He has increasingly a record of picking up little niggling injuries. Could be that he knows he's probably moving this summer, so he's not taking any risks with anything. But actually, currently, we have this sort of slightly strange situation where Marco Rose, his coach, has basically said that he's refusing to take an MRI scan. There's amazing quotes from a coach saying that, we can't stick the lad in an MRI tube if he doesn't want it, you know, which is a good, you actually can't stick people into MRI tubes if they don't want to. Yeah. I think that's true. Yeah. You can't. That's very good from, but I do wonder about him going to England this early in his career and basically being kicked around a lot, and maybe a little bit more than you do in other leagues. How many years of that does he have in him? I think is an interesting question that's kind of hanging in the air there a little bit.
Yeah, we'll see. Okay, well, on tonight's games, just to let you know what we've got coming up. So Newcastle take on Crystal Palace. Man City face Brighton, looking to go back to the top of the table, but let's see whether Brighton can get another win against one of the big boys. Everton take on Leicester. It's another crunch clash for Frank Lampard's side. They are, I think it's 3 points above the bottom three at the moment heading into that game. So they need a win desperately. And Chelsea face Arsenal. I think this is a really interesting match. It's the first time that we're going to see the game at Stamford Bridge. Just played in front of 25,000 season ticket holders. Remember, Chelsea can't sell any new tickets. So the sanctions starting to take effect at Stamford Bridge from this match. But for Arsenal, I mean, well, they need a win desperately. Three defeats in a row now, Vish. And that top four it looks like no one bloody wants it at the minute, but this is a game where this is actually their game in hand on Spurs, so they need to win it really. But can you see that happening?
I can, yeah. I mean, obviously their form is pretty rotten, but Chelsea feel like in a bit of a weird space at the moment. They were very, very professional against Crystal Palace, and I suppose they have been through through this period of uncertainty with their ownership. But I mean, I can definitely see them getting something from this game, because I think because of the opposition in Chelsea, there's a bit more feel to it. So you kind of, I suppose you can kind of approach it less in regards to form, but I think they really need to impact on Chelsea. I think Chelsea have struggled this season when teams have come at them. And I suppose the thing working against Arsenal is they'll be pretty low on confidence. And so their desire to really go at Chelsea might be diminished than, say, it would have been a month ago when they were doing that great run. And it looked like, I think I even said on the show, and it looked like they had fourth place sewn up. So, yeah, it'll be interesting.
Well, we'll see what happens, won't we? Those are the matches tonight. The team will be back tomorrow to go through them all. Lars, Vish, good to see you both.
Good to see you.
Plans in the London sunshine for the rest of the day?
No, I'm going to be stuck inside writing.
Oh, sorry.
Like an idiot. Yeah, thanks for rubbing it in, though.
What about you, Lars?
Same.
Oh. Well, I'll go and have a drink for both of you then. Thanks for listening.
Last time I was on, last time I was on, you and Pete were like comparing tans. Mm-hmm. And I have been here.
No one's
pointed out that I have attained some colour over the weekend.
Have you?
Apparently not. I went to Luton and got slightly sunburned. You know, I went to Costa del Bedfordshire and got, not even brought it up. I'm very disappointed. I must try harder.
Get some of that tanning oil on, Lars.
Oh, yes. Next time I go to Luton, I'll oil that.
Oil yourself up, baby. Right, thanks for listening to the Football Ramble, guys. Part of the Acast Creator Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.